Shut up and sit down.
Welcome to the Absolute Worst Podcast. I'm Allison Royer.
And I'm Dana Powell.
Each week on our show, we seek and give free therapy by telling you our problems, asking you to tell us your problems. Let me just pray to God that any of it works out.
We're basically the opposite of Oprah.
Although.
Oh, boy.
We're moving on up.
We're moving on up in 2018.
You can't see her. You can't hear her. But we have an intern.
We have an intern,
you guys.
We
have a motherfucking intern.
She's going to be famous.
Sarah?
Sarah!
Don't say anything. But she's here. She's making everything better.
Yeah.
She will now be responsible for 100% of the work.
No.
I intend to do nothing.
You already do nothing.
She's our muse. Uh-huh. She's our inspiration.
Uh-huh. She's adorable.
She's adorable. And I think it is, it's funny because we mentioned this in a previous podcast that we were looking for an intern and a babysitter. And it was kind of like a throwaway. I don't even know why we were talking about it.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we intended to be like, this is the episode where we get an intern.
No.
But we talked about it somehow. And like, people reached out. They were interested.
That's awesome.
So it just goes to show.
We're not going
to
make Sarah babysit, though.
She's going to babysit. No. So it just goes to show. You put something out into the world, per Oprah. I mean, this is Oprah level advice. This is from the queen herself. You put something into the world. It's like a vision board.
Yeah, you're asking the universe.
Ask the universe to bring you an intern.
And then
they bring you an intern. They bring you Sarah.
Yeah.
So 2018 is starting off great as far as I'm concerned.
Good. Happy New Year, Allison.
I know. I haven't seen you in a while. How are you doing?
Great.
You, for the first time, had a big family vacay.
I did, yes.
And how did it go?
So wonderful.
Yeah.
My entire family came out from Missouri, and we all stayed in a place together, an Airbnb.
Yep.
At a, I don't know if I want to tell you where the place is.
Okay.
Because
weird.
It's a gem.
I'm going to, you know what? I do want to know where it is because my parents are coming.
It's Imperial Beach.
I'll go there.
So it's in San Diego.
Okay.
We stayed, literally we walked across the street to the pier and the beach.
Amazing.
And Patty on Airbnb, she's amazing. I gave her a raving review.
I'm going to go there.
She's incredible. Her place is spacious and clean and sparkling. She had boogie boards and sand toys for
amazing.
The kids.
Amazing.
It was such a special, special holiday.
You were making new memories.
It was incredible.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
You literally seem like renewed.
Do I?
Yeah. You didn't yell at me as much today. I don't know if it's because Sarah's here.
No.
Yeah. You look great.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
This is the nicest you've ever been to.
I know. I do better in the mornings.
We
know. So this is another episode where we've had to get together to record pretty early. I've been up for hours. I've baked.
I mean, I have too, but I'm still not pleasant.
I do much better in the mornings.
Yeah.
Well, you, not so much.
Good for
but,
you.
So I think it's important for me to start with positive reinforcement so you can have a good jumping off place.
Smell you, Nancy Drew.
Okay, this just devolved. Did you make a New Year's resolution?
No, and you know what?
What?
I think this is the first time I've ever not done it, and I actively didn't. I was mad at
So your resolution is to not make a resolution.
Yeah.
Because you don't...
I will learn something new this year.
Oh.
Like, I've kind of replaced resolutions with learning something new every year.
So what was 2017 about? Like, what
did
you learn?
I had to do a podcast.
Oh, okay.
Great. I think we've done it.
Yeah, I mean, we have a podcast.
It's not perfect.
No, nobody thinks it is.
But I think anyone who knows me, if they saw like what we do, they'd be like, holy cow.
Yeah, Sarah is very impressed.
Dana, how is that possible?
Right.
But we did it.
We did do it.
So that was my 2017. I don't know what 2018 is going to be. I'm a little bit, I kind of want to take a photography class.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always so blown away sometimes by people who have like a deep desire to do something that to me sounds terrible.
Oh.
You know, like I know one example is like marathons. There's a lot of people that are like, I want to run a marathon because it means something to them. It's like a level of achievement that they want to do. And while I can see that that would be rewarding, there's not a part of me. And I'm not even like...
But can I ask a serious question?
Yeah.
How is it rewarding to run so hard that you cry and shit yourself at the end?
Well, I think there's a training process that keeps you from having to do that. Number one, like you don't... Most people say like, I'm training for a marathon.
Right.
So it's about like building up the endurance.
But when you say 76% of them have poop running down their legs at the end?
Do you think it's 76%?
I think it's
no,
a lot.
No, I wouldn't.
Depending on how long.
I would say it's
2%. If it's like a 5K, maybe not.
Well, that's not a marathon.
The first
though.
Time I ever ran 5 miles, I thought I was going to poop myself.
That's also not a 5K. I think you're confused about the different levels.
My trainer
of marathon.
Was like, I want you to keep going. And if you poop your pants, I will drive you home in my car and we'll be bonded forever.
Okay. So you had a very specific.
I didn't poop though. Because okay. I don't
Well,
poop.
There you go. I mean, yeah. So not everybody that runs a marathon poops.
I think a lot of people do.
Okay. Well, I don't even know what to say
hey,
to that.
If you've pooped yourself. Running a
well,
marathon.
Quite frankly, Dana, you then pooped yourself in. And you didn't run anywhere. You were merely walking.
On the beach.
Yeah, exactly. So no wonder you have this deep-seated fear. You I'm just think that everybody of, poops all the time.
Terrified of defecating on myself.
That being said, I also, there's not a part of me that would ever want to learn how to do photography.
You have a child. Why wouldn't you want to learn how to take lovely pictures of her?
Because I like live with her in the moment.
And you don't want to remember what she was like when she's not
I
a
think
baby?
I'm just going to remember. I mean, I have an iPhone.
Ugh.
Why are you
ugly?
Judging me for not wanting to do your thing?
Of your baby?
You know what? You said that I was being nice to you. Yeah. I told you why, and now you're very mad again.
Allison.
What?
It was 9 a.m. when I got okay. here.
All right.
Thank you. What's your New Year's resolution?
Well, I had said on Twitter that it was to get fatter and smoke more.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. But that's not really true. What's my New Year's resolution? I'll tell you what.
Oh.
I am struggling with a defect of character.
Okay.
So, you know.
Is it being nice?
That's not a defect of character.
But you're struggling with being nice.
No. Maybe. Okay. Why would you say that?
I'm just asking, like, I'm trying to lead you where you need to go.
You just said I was being really nice.
I know. You're doing great.
So I feel like, particularly since I've gotten sober, I was forced to look at like a lot of the things about myself that were problematic. Mm-hmm. And many of those things I've been able to resolve. So fun fact, my sobriety date is Christmas Eve, 2004.
Yeah.
So I just celebrated 13 years of continuous sobriety. No big
Allison.
Deal. And so because my sobriety date is around also like this New Year time for people, it definitely is a period of time for me where I do a lot of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I used to drink and now I don't. That's crazy. How did that happen? How has it been 13 years?
Yeah.
What have I learned? What's coming forward? So those two things coupled together, I'm always kind of like looking at what I just had been through and where I'm going. So you may not know this about me, but, you know, when I was drinking and even when I first got sober, here's the things that I was struggling with. I could never get anywhere on time. Mm-hmm. I was super flaky. If I said I was going to be there, the chances of that really happening were nil. I was, you know, there's just a lot of things about me that I struggled with. Super immature with money. You know, I had a lot mm-hmm. of financial problems. Like, I just had all of these problems.
Mm-hmm.
So over the course of the last 13 years, a lot of those not only have been sorted out, but they're not, I don't even have to worry about them anymore. They've just been fixed or like removed to some degree. But I have a new problem. And I think we've talked about this, about like me focused on like, this is the way things are.
Right.
Have we talked about that before?
Yeah, a little bit.
And I just, you know, I'm struggling with it at work of like, this is how things should be and everyone should do it that way, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's almost like this like self-righteous or like, because there's something in, it's like a lack. And I would think that I'm a compassionate person to some degree, but then there's other areas where I'm like, you did this, that's not how that goes. And then I'm just like, and we've talked before, Dana, about like how we both kind of cut people out or
yeah.
And I struggle with that so much, and we've talked about it before here too, is I've got to figure out a way how to be able to deal with people without just removing them from my life. And finding the balance of like when you have to remove them and when you just have to deal with them and what you can do to like make that happen. So that's my goal for 2018, I think, is being more understanding that everybody's coming from a different place and that there's different ways of doing things. And that maybe my way isn't always right, which, oof, that doesn't really sound right, does it? I mean, it feels like my way is right.
If I feel like what you said before that seems healthier.
Oh.
That's how we're opposite, because I feel like I used to be more that way when I lived in the Midwest and when I first moved out here. And
yeah.
Now, I mean, obviously I'm sort of a hurricane wherever I go. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's because I changed that thought and I'm just like, whatever happens, yeah. happens. But I will say, you know, I struggle sometimes with being late and stuff like that too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is, as usual, a good balance. Yeah. We've had an amazing podcast year because this also is the sort of marker of, I think we started our podcast a little later than this.
We didn't release until later.
But we started meeting around this time last year. Mm-hmm. And so it's been such an incredible year. I've learned so much from this show. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I love about this show is how people keep us accountable, because we've always said that this show is about giving and seeking free therapy. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we wouldn't have this show if it wasn't for the people that listened, because right. they write in. Mm-hmm. They tell us when we're wrong. They ask us for help. They tell us when we have, in fact, helped them so we can kind of know how we're doing. They have given us feedback and advice on the problems that we've been having. And it has been really a tremendous experience. And
definitely.
I don't know if I've said this on the show before, but the way that this all happened, and I think somebody even asked us about this, is this time last year, I had a 4-month-old and I was on maternity leave and I was home for a month in Chicago and was just like, I guess my life is over. Prior to that, I had been performing a lot at night, and I just knew I had this new baby and I wasn't going to be able to do that anymore.
Right.
And I was home for the holidays really grappling with, am I just supposed to move home and live in the suburbs? And how am I going to continue a creative life? And, you know, Dana and I have talked about God. We had a spirituality episode. I think we both believe in something bigger than ourselves. And in the middle of all that, Dana started reaching out to me and was like, we should do a podcast. Yeah. It was random, like totally out of the blue. And then it allowed me to be able to have a new baby and still be creative in a time that was like convenient for me, because not a lot of improv shows are happening at 9 a.m. but
on a Saturday,
a Saturday morning, but it allowed me to sort of like still work that creative muscle, which has been so amazing and tremendous. So I want to start today, not in a negative place.
Okay.
But we did get some feedback. I've actually had this in our email box for a while, but so much has been going on. We've had guests and we've had like crazy mm-hmm. topics and we've had like emergency questions we had to answer. So we had a question once, and I don't remember. I don't know if I wrote what episode it was on, because this person wrote back in October.
Okay.
So it was a while ago. And, you know, the thing, and we've talked about this before, too, when people write us emails, sometimes they're hard to navigate, because if they don't have a lot of details, they're kind of vague. We just do our best to answer them without all the information. So a woman had written in and she talked about she had some problems with her husband. He was disrespectful. The children were disrespecting her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we kind of, you know, we said some things that based on that email we thought were appropriate. We said this phrase, and I've heard it a lot of, and we think we made it an Instagram post of, you accept the love
you think you deserve.
You accept the love you think you deserve, right? Which in many ways is appropriate. Mm-hmm. But this woman wrote in and kind of had some things to say about it. I'm going to read it. And the other thing that we talked about towards the very end of you and I giving advice, we both said, like, although if you can leave a relationship, you know, we maybe got the sense that she was maybe in an abusive relationship, but we mm-hmm. didn't talk about that too much because it was sort of an afterthought. Like it was hard email to navigate. So this woman wrote in. So she did it in the month of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, which we missed. But we wanted to get to it. Hello, Dana and Allison. I want to start out by saying how much I love your podcast. Thank you. You both are so funny, and I typically really enjoy your advice, even if I wouldn't necessarily take all of it for myself.
Yeah, I mean, we are the absolute worst.
Totally.
Yeah.
October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, so as I said, this was a while ago. And I work as an advocate helping victims identify the abuse they are experiencing and creating a safety plan with them as they work to leave the relationship. In your most recent episode, so this is what it was, Disney Tits and Dildos.
Oh, okay.
Obviously a very compassionate and a worldly name. Uh-huh. A woman wrote in about her relationship and how her husband treats her terrible. While her email to you was vague, and I am hypersensitive to unhealthy relationships due to my job, I am concerned that she may be in an abusive relationship. Though it may not be physically abusive, what she did share definitely sounded like what I hear from victims and survivors about their partner's emotional and verbal abuse towards them. The person writing in also specifically mentioned that her relationship with her children had become strained because of the disrespect they saw their father giving her, and therefore thought that was an appropriate way for them to speak to their mother. Mm-hmm. This is something I see all the time in abusive relationships. And it's a key way for the abuser to make their victim feel, one, isolated, and two, like a failure, bad parent, which is something they will use against them. The reason I'm writing is because I'm a little concerned about the advice that you gave this woman. I acknowledge that it is totally possible that this particular person is not actually a victim of DV, domestic violence, as she definitely didn't give enough information for that to be established, which is what I was talking about. So I appreciate that this woman said that. What I am more worried about is the likelihood that someone that is a victim is listening to your podcast and takes some of the more flippant things that you said to this listener writer to heart. You referenced a pretty popular saying, something along the lines of you teach others how to treat you by what you allow. And while I don't totally disagree with this sentiment, it is a little concerning to me that it is being used in the context of an unhealthy relationship. It's super victim blaming. There are thousands of legitimate reasons why victims of domestic violence allow, and she put that in quotes, themselves to be treated poorly by the partner. I think it is dangerous to put the blame of why her husband is treating her poorly back on the woman writing in. It is entirely his fault that he is treating her poorly. Nothing she does or thinks about herself or anything else gives him permission to treat her with disrespect. That is her husband, and his job is to love and respect her, period. I also felt like, while I know you meant well, your advice of you can certainly leave the relationship at any time was a little naive to what the situation may be. There are so many reasons why that advice is harder than it may seem. And leaving an abusive relationship is actually the most dangerous time in an abusive relationship for a victim. I can't possibly fit in all the advice that I think would have been more beneficial to this writer, but I think that it's important for you both to acknowledge in your show the complexities of abusive relationships, as well as making sure to point out that not all abuse is physical. I know that you both take mental health very seriously, which is one of the reasons I really would love, why I really love your show, and put the link and phone number to the suicide prevention hotline in your show notes. I think it would be hugely helpful to your listeners, and maybe specifically this woman, if you included the National Domestic Violence Hotline information as well.
Oh.
Which she gave us the number on the website, and we're definitely going to add it to our show notes.
Amazing.
I'm afraid the woman that wrote in last week is a domestic violence victim, and that your advice wasn't helpful or encouraging to her or other victims looking for real help getting out of dangerous relationships. I know your show is a comedy podcast, but some people write in with legitimate problems and they need serious answers to their questions while you are also providing entertainment. Please consider posting or at least mentioning the above resource so that victims that are listening know how to get hooked up to a professional advocate that can safely plan with them and help them to find safety. Love your show, and I'm sorry about the long email. Thank you. You know what? No, that's awesome.
I love that you wrote in.
Me too. And I'm sorry it took us so long to get to it. If anybody's written in and you're like, ugh, they're never going to read my email, I'm gonna.
Yeah.
We just always have to find the right time.
Yeah.
And I think it's appropriate starting off a new year, because one of the things that happened last year, and it was sort of by accident, is this show became a little serious. You know,
yeah.
We started talking about some deeper issues, and that wasn't necessarily intended. But like I said, so much of our content depends on what people write in about.
Mm-hmm.
And it started very organically and naturally. And it has become, for us, one of the things we love the most about this show.
So much.
We can be flippant. We can be blue. We can be vulnerable. We can be all of these things, which I think both Dana and I is why we love comedy. You know, it is sort of the magic elixir. It heals a lot of wounds. It helps us find identification.
It creates relatability.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, jumping into 2018, we are going to continue to be fucking flippant and accountable. So we want to thank this woman so much for writing in, and we are going to put those links in our show notes.
I think that's awesome. And I just want to say too, that's one of the things that we talk about so much that we love about the show, is that like, we may not know the answers,
but someone will.
Clearly, you know, maybe we didn't address it in a way that was necessary for others who may have other needs, but this woman recognized that. And that's the community that we have built through this podcast, which I love, because I can't say that I have much experience with domestic violence.
Totally.
Like, I wouldn't know how to speak to that. My sister was a victim of domestic violence, and like, all I could do was love her.
Right.
And it came out of nowhere. It wasn't mental abuse. It was physical.
I think there's so many things I want to say, but one of them was that, you know, one of the things I love about our listeners is they're super duper respectful.
Yeah.
She said, I love your
show.
She said, listen, I know that email was vague, and so I'm sure it was hard to navigate, but I just wanted to be the voice because I'm so sensitive about this issue to anybody
that might.
Totally.
I love that.
I do too. And I think there was something else. Oh, I, you know, I work at a law firm, and in one of the previous law firms I worked at, we did a lot of pro bono work. And one of the things that I found out during that period that was really interesting is there's so many different kinds of abuse, one of which is financial, you know, controlling someone with money, emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. And I think sometimes we focus on sexual and physical, but there's many other ways. And just like she said, first you kind of isolate the person and then they are, you know, easier to manipulate, I guess. As usual, you know, and we had hit another topic early last year where something came up where Dana and I both thought maybe it was a sexual, we thought maybe it was sexual violence or rape or something like that. And we did our best to navigate that. But then we did a call out for experts. Like, if you know an expert, somebody reached out to us. They're going to be on our show in February to help us navigate that issue because Dana and I didn't know. Same thing for this. I don't know if this girl lives in LA or ever comes here, but
yeah.
If you have experience or you're an expert in domestic violence or anything like that, reach out to us because we love having experts on this show because just like Oprah, no big deal. We may not know the answer, but we'll do our best to find someone who does so
Oprah
that can help us.
Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil, that blonde lady
that
talks about sex.
Both of which have gotten in a lot of trouble. Maybe we shouldn't talk about them. Okay.
Well, I was just saying she had people.
She does. She has people.
Do you think we could get Dr. Phil on here?
I don't think it's necessary. Do we want Dr. Phil on the
show?
No,
I just want to know if we could.
Oh, maybe. Oh. We're going to find the new, better Dr. Phil. I think that's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do what we know any doctors? Go back to school and
you
want to
be a
doctor?
No, I'm too busy.
With what?
I'm just super, I got a lot going on.
Yeah?
I'm baking.
Yeah. Yeah, you made those nasty oyster
whoa,
crackers.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did you even try them?
No, I'm not going to.
They're super good. Did you try them, Sarah? Fuck you. You know what? I don't need two assholes. Jesus Christ. This is a long email, but we're just going to do it. So in the same way that people hold us accountable, we also, Dana had recently said in episode 29, we're not qualified. You were talking about meditation.
Yes.
You were talking about losing things and how you're having all these problems. Mm-hmm. This woman wrote some advice into you, and so I want to help you out.
Awesome.
Okay. I didn't edit it, so sorry about it. Fuck. Well, let's just do it. Let's just do it, you guys.
Okay. Why are you getting so upset? Is it like...
It's kind of long.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's long. So a lot of times I edit them, but I guess I forgot. Just shut up. We'll do our best here. Oof. I got a lot going on. Okay.
Welcome, Sarah.
I know. Welcome, Sarah. So this is subject line monkey brain. Hi, ladies. I've been wanting to send you both an email about this for a while, but every time I think about it, that's something I could have edited. Doesn't matter. Thank you, anonymous reader. I almost read her name. Dana. I totally related to the episode a few weeks ago when you talked about leaving your shit everywhere. My problem lately is I cannot leave the house or anywhere really without at least 20 minutes notice. And it's not because I don't allow enough time and I'm rushing. I seem to have lost the ability to be efficient without getting flustered. Mm-hmm. I used to be able to put my shoes on, grab my purse, and be out the door in 2 minutes. Now I get up at literally 5:30 and I'm late for work at 9, and I only live 20 minutes from work. I think part of the problem is I have too many things, so I find things... Oh, I have too much time, so I find things to fill it. Instead of just leaving, I see that there's a dirty dish that my husband left somewhere it doesn't belong, so I bring it in the kitchen, and then I see that he's left other dishes in the sink. So
it's
next thing
fault.
I know,
and
I've cleaned all those dishes. Great, you get it. I blamed my ADHD for a while, and I'm sure that has something to do with it, but I think it's also related to what Buddhists call a monkey brain. Mm. I know you've been working on meditation or mindfulness, which is the same thing, but that's the new term for people who are weirded out by mindfulness, and mention that you can't stop the loop of thoughts in your head. Mm. That's monkey mind. I like to picture it like there's a big pile of thoughts inside my head, and a little monkey is jumping up and down in there, picking up thoughts and just throwing them around, derailing whatever productive thoughts I actually have. That monkey is an asshole. Mm-hmm. I've tried meditation on and off over the last 2 years, and it's really hard. But I did want to share two things that helped when I first started learning about it.
Cool.
One, reading about meditation. One of the first books I read was 10% Happier. She also says it's on sale right now.
Awesome.
This is just like Dana pointing everybody to other things. It's fine. It's written by a news anchor who had a panic attack on live TV and then got into Buddhism and meditation to try and address his anxiety. I found it really helpful because he talks through all his hangups about meditation and why he didn't like it at first and how he got over those things. He also talked about the fact that you can follow principles of Buddhism without actually following the religion, which I didn't really know. Number two, guided meditation. I simply cannot meditate on my own. I can't sit quietly for 5 minutes and trust that I'll know when 5 minutes is up. I can't set a timer because I worry I didn't set the timer. I set it to silent and I won't hear it. Also, I get bored or off track. You may already be using an app, but I've used Headspace. Do you have that?
I don't. I have an app that I'm mad at.
Okay.
I don't like it.
I've just used, okay, hers is called Headspace. I've just used the free exercises, but you can also subscribe and get more content. My local community center also has guided Jaina, we should go to a meditation class.
Oh, God.
Okay. I haven't been great about keeping up with meditating every day, but when I do, I feel better. And I do a lot of breathing exercises when I start to have anxiety attacks. My therapist, open parentheses, not Allison, my other therapist that went to therapist college, has also mentioned that there's a ton of research that things, oh yeah, this is what I was thinking about for you. I'm going to get this for you for Christmas. That things like coloring and other activities that require a lot of concentration are just as good as meditating.
Oh, I like
that.
So
have you seen all these people that are recently, it's like adult coloring
books?
Yeah,
I did that while my dad was in the hospital.
Yes, Dana, that's what we need to get for you.
Okay.
And you get like the really nice colored pencils and like the like really.
I like markers.
I'm not going to read anymore. You know what? Go fuck yourself. Really? I just I'm offered saying, to get you really nice colored pencils.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
But you need the markers. But the markers are going to bleed through the page.
No, not if you get good quality paper.
But it's a coloring book.
And well, then I'll just put a piece of paper in between each page. Don't you know how to color? If I'm saying this is what I need.
All that being said, I'm going to work on meditating more and trying to be more focused. You've inspired me, Dana and Allison. Mainly Dana saying she didn't want Juana and Allison saying the alternative was leaving her shit everywhere. Because isn't that about what being adult comes down to? Being lazy and doing the easy thing that will keep your life fine but sort of miserable, or doing the harder thing that will make your life better. But ugh, I'm so tired today.
Yeah, that's true, right?
I'm not going to get you a present anymore. Maybe Sarah will. Will you get her the markers she wants?
Wait, because I ruined it?
Yeah, because I have this vision of these really nice colored pencils, which is what I think you're supposed
Remember
to color
Remember how you
with.
Said you had a character flaw and you think people need to do things the way you think they need to do them? And then Dana says that she wants something else and you sigh like I laid on top of you and I'm squeezing the life out of you.
Okay, I'll get you your dumb markers, which are going to ruin your whole coloring book.
Okay.
Okay.
I can't wait to show you it won't.
I guess I have a lot of 2018 stuff because I wrote on this email, let's clear this up in 2018. I thought we had done this already.
Oh.
We apparently get like an email a day about this now, but
we do?
Maybe this what person's not up to up to date on our podcast. Mm-hmm. But once again, I have this question. Fake name Kenny. Why does Dana call her husband by his first and last name? So let's just kick the year off. Let's be real clear about it. Why not just Dan? Does she have so many Dans in her life that that she needs to specify? It always sounds so odd to me. Does she do this at home with him?
Yes.
Dan Tipton, what do you want for dinner?
Yeah.
All right. Walk us through it, Dana, because people are losing their minds.
Okay. So when I first met Dan Tipton in college... We're college sweethearts.
Oh, boy.
I called him Dan Tipton all the time because I think the name just flows, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was excited. It was new love. You know, it was like, oh, he's so special. I want to have his children.
Which he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, one of them.
Okay.
We're not going to have any more. Let's be honest.
Okay.
So I called him Dan Tipton. And then you get married and the bloom falls off the petals.
Okay.
What's that? And I
the
was like,
rose gets filled with shit.
I yeah, think that's what it is. Uh-huh. I'm gonna make a meme. He's a meme.
So many fucking critiques. It's hard to keep
it's
up
so
with
hard.
Them.
Uh huh. So anyway, I was like Dan, and then I started getting into improv and acting and all these things, and people started calling him Dan Powell.
Right.
And I was like,
because you kept your maiden name.
I kept my maiden.
Legally,
name.
Your name is Dana Powell.
Correct.
Okay.
My family calls me Dana Tipton.
Oh.
And all our Christmas cards and stuff like that all come to Dana and Dan Tipton.
Got it.
Dan and Dana Tipton.
But legally, you're Dana Powell.
But legally, I'm
But
Dana
your
Powell.
Son's last name is Tipton. Okay, so people started referring to Dan as Dan Powell.
Yes, and I was like, no, he's his own person.
Right, so now you're just trying
so
to make
I went
it really
back
clear.
To calling him Dan Tipton in like 2001,
right.
I think. And everybody calls him Dan Tipton.
Yeah.
That's it.
I hope we don't have to address this again.
I mean... I just, you know, he's special. He's his own person.
It is interesting, though, because I know other women that kept their maiden names that have that problem, uh-huh. which I don't think you would think of when you do that, that mm-hmm. then, yeah, maybe people assume your husband's last name is your last name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like a real thing.
I always wonder, too, like when we're at school and stuff, if people think, oh, she's a divorced mom. Like
right.
her and Dan Tipton are not married.
Right.
But I also have to say sometimes, because it is confusing to people when I first meet them, you know, oh, Dan Tipton, that's my husband. Or my
right.
or my friends will say to that person, oh, that's her husband.
Right.
You know. But yeah, that's the story.
Okay. So.
I mean, he's just Dan Tipton.
He is Dan Tipton.
Yeah.
I love him.
Okay. Take it easy.
I would say I'm in love with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what did you post recently where I was like, Oh, I said happy birthday to the love of my life.
Yes, yeah. Which cracked him up.
Because honestly, our husbands, I feel like they're both saints.
Absolutely.
Because they have to, like, my husband's a saint because he has to deal with Dana. And
oh,
I feel
God,
like Dana,
no.
I feel like Dan Tipton's a saint because he has to deal with me.
Are you kidding me?
No. Oh, and I mean, obviously us as well.
I am Robbie's escape. Robbie and I went to a movie
That's
together
true.
So he could relax.
You guys need to do that again.
You really do. Allison was like, it made him so happy.
Yeah, they did. It was like, because I have a job, no big deal. It's terrible. I have to go 9 to 5 a day, whatever. So Dana and Robbie went to like a morning movie together.
Yeah, scary.
And that night, I mean, dinner was made. He was like a new man. He was so happy. So
I mean,
please
FYI,
take my husband to
we just had like friend fun. I didn't like blow him or anything. I'm just saying, like,
Dana.
I don't want you to think he came home extra happy because I did something special to his penis.
In what
I
world
didn't.
Would I think that you blew my husband?
Crazy world.
I don't live in that world.
You are full-blown cup of crazy.
What are you talking about? Do you honestly think there was a part of me that thought he came that you needed to clarify?
Maybe I needed to clarify
because
it for
Because I thought
our audience.
That he came home because you had
don't
given him a
came.
Blowjob. Dana! You don't even give blowjobs. You give handjobs.
That's true.
You talk about hand jobs constantly. You think it's like the most erotic thing you can do to a person.
Not true.
All you do is talk about hand jobs.
That
so there's no part of me that thought you gave him a blowjob.
First of all, you're a crazy person.
What are you talking
I say
about?
You can use it to vary it.
Oh,
up.
Yeah, but you
I
talk
like
about it as though it's like the most erotic thing you could do to a person.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty good
Here
at it.
Here she goes.
Allison, you got to change things up, man.
I get it. You love hand jobs.
No, I don't. They do.
Oh, so
they want to feel. They want to feel all kinds of different things.
Don't
around.
Say they like you're talking about both of our husbands.
I'm
it's so
men.
Inappropriate.
I'm talking about men.
I still want you to go to a movie with
you're
my husband.
You're literally biting your nails right now.
That's because I don't
happening.
Understand why you thought that I thought that you gave my husband a blowjob.
No, I just want to make that clear for the world.
Everybody, no one thinks you did that.
Maybe. I mean, we went and saw it. It's not sexy.
Okay, but even if you saw a romantic comedy, I don't think you would have given him a blowjob.
No,
and
I
now
wouldn't.
I'm more upset because you had to clarify it.
This you think is Robbie just, would be upset about it?
If you gave him a blowjob?
No.
No, I think he would be fine with it. Are you asking me if you can give my husband a blowjob? Like, literally, what is happening right now? I don't even understand what you're talking about. It's obvious that you're desperate to give my husband
no!
a blowjob. That's what I'm getting from
I
you.
I don't understand how this turned.
What do you mean? You started it and said, just so you know, I didn't give him a blowjob or anything.
Going, why would I think that?
But literally, why would I think
like that? Like a fucking upset hamster.
I just don't think we're in a situation where you ever need to clarify that you didn't have a sexual encounter with my husband.
Allison.
Will you show me your vagina?
No.
Because sometimes I feel like we're not friends. Because if you, number one, won't show me your vagina, or number two, need to clarify that you didn't have sex with my husband, I just wonder what level of friendship this in fact is.
The fact that I wouldn't have sex with your husband shows.
But why would you ever have to say that? Do you know what I mean?
It was for Sarah.
Why would you think Sarah thinks that you had a... Ugh.
I don't know that she thinks that. I'm just covering all my bases.
Oh, my God. 2018 is going to be the year I see your vagina.
No.
Because I need to feel like we're close.
No, it's not going to happen. But I do want...
Would you take
gonna...
a bath together? Like, I don't need to look directly at it. I just... Would you
in
get
the same
a...
tub?
Well, yeah.
No.
What if we were in... Okay.
Are
you
we
know how we're
going to
go get this... No. This is what we're going to do. You know how you and I have these gift certificates for this facial?
Uh-huh.
There's a room there where they have these two bathtubs and you get in them and you drink tea. We're going. We're getting naked. We're getting in the bathtubs. You don't even have to be in the same bathtub as me. And
no,
we're gonna
I'm not going to be in the same tub as you.
No, but a tub right next to me.
Do I have bubbles?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you'll be naked in that capacity.
Will you turn your head while I get in the tub?
No.
Oh, then we might have to cut that deal.
Dana!
Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to get on this show and you're going to be like, your eyes. Dana and I went and had a facial.
That's not how I
so
talk.
Amazing. And Dana got in the tub, and I'm telling you, I saw her body.
I'm not going to talk about it.
There's something she could work on, but who doesn't?
I would never say that. I hate you. For those that are just joining us, this is actually like a supposedly a helpful podcast. If you ever have any questions you want us to answer, like why Dana wants to give my husband a blowjob or why she calls her husband Dan Tipton, you can email us at absoluteworstpodcast@gmail.com, or you can go through our website, absoluteworstpodcast.com. There's a little contact section there. You can very anonymously reach us at. You can reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I recently found something that was trapped in one of our messages on social media. So I made,
really?
Yeah, but I got it back into our email. But I do a good job, but I guess once in a while I miss it.
You
do. I hate you so much. So anyway, we see you can get free fucking therapy. Okay, this person wrote, fake name Allison Royer.
That's hysterical. That is hilarious.
Oh, it's super funny. Okay, lovely ladies. Thank you for all that you do. I learn something new from you every single episode. You are both so genuine and it is refreshing.
Aw,
thank you. But I want to get to my question instead of showering you in compliments.
Yeah,
I need help. Honestly, I'm not sure where to start. My husband is an only child to a single mother who is so intertwined in our lives. It's literally insane. Now, the pros outweigh the cons because she is sweet and generous and watches our small child 3 days a week. But I often have to deal with texts about how we were raising our child, from only allowing him to wear 100% organic cotton to what we feed him, to what friends we have over. Their baby has plastic toys. He cannot be around them. What is this thing with plastic toys? Is this like bad?
People think there's like toxins that breathe out of the plastic.
So husband and I moved to the most suburban of the suburban neighborhoods into a really beautiful home. And this is a huge deal for us and for me. First time my name has been on a house. Well, good for fucking you, bitch.
No, that's
so
wonderful.
Great. No, I'm just kidding. That's good. We've lived here less than a month when suddenly MIL, that's mother-in-law, it's short for mother-in-law, is looking to buy the house next door.
No.
I was shocked by the conversation in general because it's alarming. It's a 2,800 square foot house for her and her tiny dog. She's 66 and the master is on the second floor. She has always wanted to move out to the country and raise chickens. Dana!
Yes.
And now she's uprooting and moving to this house and all signs point to no. Mm-hmm. I also should mention that I have to get real with myself. I'm also a bit resentful of the timing of it all. We've barely had time to enjoy this moment, and not only will we have to take on a lot to get her moved in and settled, but it also feels like a one-up. Oh, nice house. I'm going to go ahead and buy this way nicer one right next door. You can come use my soaking tub anytime with Dana, naked. Okay. Okay, I should have written you as soon as this started because now it's happening. My husband is pumped. We can take down the fence and have a compound. Fuck no, we can't, bro. She wrote that. I didn't
this
just add that.
This isn't a village. Come on.
She has that mommy power over him. He takes on her opinions no matter what. I'm terrified that this could become a huge, huge mess. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm excited about the ease of dropping him off in the morning or a date night or when the baby can sleep at her house, but I feel outnumbered. I'm all for fucking cage-free eggs and organic avocados, but let me live my life and buy my kid a fucking Elmo doll. Allison, I know you hate boundaries.
I was just gonna, that was gonna be the first word.
I would imagine you would support keeping the fence as a boundary, but any advice on how to set myself up for success from the get-go is so welcome. D-Day is December 8th. Help. So we already missed it. Fucking hate when that happens. So basically,
but the mom was moving in anyway.
Yeah, like it doesn't seem like she's asking how she can get this to not happen, but like how to live under these circumstances. First of all, we're going to do our best to navigate this, but we need an update for sure.
Definitely.
Because by now you probably have more specific problems.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the first one, she's right. I don't like boundaries, but I love telling people what to do. And it's like, there's got to be some sort of like, you don't just stop by, right?
Yeah. There does have to be some, I'll say rules so that.
Yeah. There's some rules. Uh-huh. Yeah.
This shouldn't have happened in the first place. Here's the thing.
But, like, how can you stop someone from moving somewhere? You know what I mean? Like, you can't be like.
It's not her job. The thing is, she needs to have a conversation with her husband.
Right.
She needs to say, this is making me feel like she is a member of our household.
Right.
We have our family, which
don't take
she's
that fence
included.
Down. Don't you dare take that fence
she's
down.
She's included in our family.
Right.
But then we have our immediate family.
Right.
That's me, you, and our child. Mm-hmm. And we all come first.
Right.
I am not comfortable having your mother in every element of our lives.
Right.
I am
the
mother.
It's going to be like dinner every night. Uh-huh. Right.
I am the mother of our home. Mm-hmm. I choose with you mm-hmm. what is healthy and necessary for our child.
Right.
And she may do things differently. Mm-hmm. And I respect that. Mm-hmm. But I don't have to.
I don't like a pop-in.
I don't like a pop-in. Mm-hmm. And he needs to set those boundaries with his mother.
Right.
Because he is raised a grown man now.
Right.
And he has his own family.
Right.
And he has to respect and uplift and embrace
right.
the family that they are building. And he, I mean, you know, we've kind of talked about, I hate using the word choosing someone, but
yeah.
like his wife comes first now.
Right.
And it's unfortunate that his mother doesn't have someone, but she may not have someone right now because she's too involved with his family.
She needs to get the mom a boyfriend.
I mean, it would be helpful.
Yes.
And also it would make her happier right. because then that's her unit.
Right.
You don't, there's no way she can, at the core of her, feel good about imposing on someone else's family. Because ultimately, that's
yeah,
her
but
son's
I'm sure
life.
She feels like she's helping and she's watching the baby. And that's probably the
but
thing
that's
hard to navigate.
Herself. But I'm telling you, if she had her own relationship and her own person to witness her and share
sure.
her life with, that would be so much more fulfilling
for sure.
her.
But you can't
she
force that.
She doesn't know that now. That's why her son needs to stand up for his wife and yeah. say, I need to set some rules.
I think also we need so many more updates because at this point it sounds like it has happened. It's been about a month now. Mm-hmm. So like, what are the new problems? Because you kind of have to tackle each one as it comes, right? You know, like if the mom is constantly like opening the door and just like walking in, you know, like that's one thing you probably have to address. I think the thing that's probably going to get a little complicated is it sounds like in many ways they love having her there because
yeah.
she watches the kid and because whatever else. And so you don't want her to start to feel like, oh, you need me when it's convenient, but then you don't want me around.
Absolutely. And you have to be aware of that, too. You
totally.
Can't take advantage of
exactly.
her help.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to want help, but it's also okay to want privacy.
Yeah, and to be like, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays are like mommy baby day or whatever it
right.
is, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's
tough.
And that's got to be a discussion. Like, her husband has to... He's the one that needs to broach that with the
100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We want to hear back from you because mm-hmm. I just feel like there's so many more details.
And there's a way to, sorry, I'm going back, but
no,
there's a
going.
Way too for her to speak with her mother-in-law and say, you have so much experience and knowledge
yeah.
in raising a child, and I appreciate your input so much. But at the end of the day, I really have to make the decisions I think are
right.
good.
And I need to find
and
my own
probably,
path.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It probably sounds crazy mm-hmm. to you, just like when my child grows up, what I did is going to sound crazy to him.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But that's just the way of life.
Yeah, and I think you're right. She's probably going to have to put her foot down a little bit and be like,
bit,
you know what, Johnny plays with plastic, and I feel like that's fine.
Right, but
you
she
know?
Doesn't have to yank her nose up the way that you
no.
did, like in between your eyes. She can say it nicely. Say what you mean what you say. Don't,
say
it with your
it.
Nose up between your eyes.
Okay. Psycho.
Do you see how she treats me, Sarah? Sarah is not here as a buffer. Don't put our child between us.
All right, so email us back. We want to hear what's going on. I really think it's going to have to be, I think one of the biggest things I can say to this girl is don't let it build up.
No.
As, you know, address each issue as it comes.
Because
if
it's going to be a pressure cooker.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. then you're going to fucking fly off the handle. You're going to lose your child care. You're going to piss off your husband. Like, so as a first come, first serve basis, you know, when she says like, hey, I really think, I don't think she ever said her kid's name, did she? Because I just
no,
keep calling him Johnny. Hey, I noticed that Johnny wasn't wearing 100% cotton clothes. You should really think about that. I'd be like, Marge, you need to back the fuck off.
No,
okay,
Allison.
No. No, but I'd be like,
need to be
you know
like,
what? He
you
wears
what?
All different textures and that's fine with us.
You know what? You might be right, Marge, but right now this is what I feel comfortable
totally.
With.
Totally. Marge and Johnny. I noticed that Johnny was playing with a plastic toy. Don't you think he's going to die? You'd
Why
be like,
is Marge like a valley girl from the 90s?
Okay, what does Marge sound like? Let's
well,
hear
she
it.
Probably sounds a little older.
Okay, can you just
She
do-
probably has a raspier voice and she's probably wears tank tops and shouldn't anymore.
We need a picture of Marge.
We need to see Marge.
But that's the best thing I can say is to approach it on a case-by-case basis. Address everything head-on. Don't let things fall through the cracks. Don't let resentments build. Say things nice, kind and loving.
Uh-huh.
But address them case-by-case. And mm-hmm. don't let it fester.
Yeah. Have a conversation, a loving conversation with your husband.
Exactly.
Because you are each other's priorities now.
Right.
Doesn't mean he doesn't love his mom.
No, she's not going anywhere.
Clearly. I'm just kidding.
Okay, here's another one.
I want her to have a boyfriend and chickens.
She has a husband and a baby.
Not her, Marge.
Oh.
Next email.
Oh, my God. Dana's like, here's what we'll do. I'm going to take him to a movie and give him a blowjob. Everything's going to be fine.
That is over. Oh, my God. I hope Robbie never listens to our podcast.
Don't worry. He never fucking will. Hi, I'm such a fan of your podcast, and I love you guys. Thank you. I listen to you when I want to just laugh and forget about the news and the craziness in the world. Ugh, me too.
Yeah.
My question to you is, I'm 38, married. I've been with my husband for 6 years, and I want to have a baby, but he is super reluctant and doesn't want a kid. Mm-hmm. He says he's worried it'll hurt our marriage. I don't know if I want to live a life where I don't have a kid in the future. Oh, boy. When you guys had your kids, did it crush the marriage? How did you deal with the new stress?
It doesn't crush your marriage, but it changes it.
For sure.
And it poses new struggles.
100%.
Sure. But it makes you stronger and you have this shared love.
It's so hard to tell people. I mean, obviously we can't answer. I mean, and her question isn't should I have a baby or not. But it's hard to address this without thinking about that, right? Because they're in this tough place. And I just want to say, if this helps you with your process at all, I was never someone, I feel like there are women that are like, I want to have a family. I want to be a mom. They've always felt that way.
I was not that way either.
I wasn't that way.
But my husband was.
Oh, and you know what? I guess you're right. My husband kind of was too. He mm-hmm. always, that was his thing.
It was
like,
a
we're
deal
gonna,
breaker for
yeah,
him.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
And so I guess to some degree, we're your, you know, I felt like, I didn't feel like I necessarily wanted to have children. But when I was married to my husband, I felt like I wanted to have his children.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was something he was really into, and then I wanted that with him.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how you navigate it.
I think it's very, very common for men to be afraid of adding children into the mix.
Right.
Because it does change things. They're not the priority
right.
anymore. Financial, like there's that provider
for sure.
aspect that comes up
yep.
and it's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she just needs to have like a sit down with him of like, here's all the things that you could fear, but that's
yeah, and who
that's
knows?
Like making up stories in your head.
She didn't even
happen.
Say it was a deal breaker for her, to be honest. I think she's just like looking for
but
new
she
information.
She did say she wants to
she
have
did.
A baby.
Yeah,
and that's okay. And the fact of the matter is, if they do, he's going to be so excited.
But here's the question. What if he's like, I'm not going to?
That's tough.
Yeah. Then she has to figure out, right? Like mm-hmm. if he says it's a deal breaker to have kids, mm-hmm. then she has to decide if it's a deal breaker for her to not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like somebody's going to have to give.
Yes.
It's so much information because I feel like
That
Tracy Ellis Ross, did we talk about this?
I don't know.
Tracy Ellis Ross just gave a speech at some awards show where she was like, I've never had kids. My life is mine. I think she wrote an article about it. Maybe we can find it and post it. But she was basically like, I never had kids. That's okay. My life is my own. I don't think she's married either.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, it's fucking awesome. And here's the thing. Fuck yeah. Like,
yeah,
that's amazing. And so while we can certainly share our experiences about what having children did to our marriages, because I'll tell you, people always say like the first year of marriage is so hard. My first year of marriage was a cakewalk. We watched like fucking Netflix all day and just like ordered takeout. My first year having a baby with my marriage was fucking hard.
Yeah.
We are just
it's
coming
new.
Out of it. You know, like
yeah.
we are just kind of getting to a place again where we love each, I mean, not that we didn't love each other, but like there was a time there where every day was a new fight. It was very, very,
it's
very
you're
difficult.
Growing in a different
totally.
Way.
Totally.
But you know what? You're doing it together.
And this is new. Well, and I'll say that too is I now, any relationship with peaks and valleys, and it's funny because I was thinking about this so much in my resolution or whatever of like how I have to, you know, kind of accept people for who they are, just
uh-huh.
like not be cutting people out all the time. My marriage is an example of that. I guess you can get divorced, but my first instinct in my marriage is not to be like, I'm getting divorced.
Right,
you
right.
have to live in the uncomfortability. And my husband and I are so different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, completely different people with completely different approaches to life. And I have to find a way to adjust in that. Mm-hmm. So first we were adjusting to this new child, and then we had to adjust to how each other were in relation to that baby. Mm-hmm. So it was just so much. You know, it was a lot of change really fast. We didn't always agree on how we should parent. We didn't always agree on what we should be doing.
And that will continue for the rest of her life. Yeah.
That being said, I think any time in any relationship you get over a conflict, it brings you closer.
It does. It makes you stronger. And I think she needs to tell, like, remind him, he's making up stories of things that haven't happened. Mm-hmm. Like, why does he... I'm sure he doesn't actually believe that their relationship is so fragile that any sort of change would just ruin it.
Right.
You know, but that's the story he's weaving in his brain right now over that.
Right. Like, is your marriage going to be different? Yeah.
And it's about he's walking in fear when he can just walk through it with her.
Right. There's that phrase, right? Like, you can't make decisions based on fear.
Right.
And every time I have walked through the fear, like Dana is saying, I may not get exactly the outcome that I wanted. I mean, quite frankly, I don't know
how to predict what's going to happen.
Totally. Like, years ago, but and Dana saw it, I did this one-woman show. You know, I'm an actor. I live in Los Angeles. You hear these stories like, and then this person did a one-woman show and somebody saw it and now it's a movie and they're rich and it's great. I did this one-woman show. It was super
fantastic.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So afraid to do it. I stood up there for 45 minutes with all of this written stuff. It was pretty vulnerable. Mm-hmm. It was really scary. I had to get all my audience. Like, I just knew there was no way this was going to happen. I did the show. Some secret person did not come and make a movie out of my show.
Right.
But I did walk through that fear. I had that experience. And I never have to sit around. And Dana Vibel talked about, like, I want to write a book. You know, that's another thing which feels totally insurmountable. And these are sort of like, this isn't having a child. It's like these kitschy little, you know, I moved to Los Angeles. That was really scary. I got married. You know, that was pretty scary of like, I love living alone. This feels like a lot, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like you can't, oh, but what if I get married and I lose my freedom? Well, what if I get married and, you know, I was able to walk through that fear. I don't know. I don't want to say like, you have to get married. You have to have kids. You have to do whatever.
But it seems
but I
like
do
something
think you
she
can't
wants.
Paralyze yourself with fear.
Right.
If there's something that you kind of want, and again, like, who's to say? Who knows if he really wants to have children, if he's using that as an excuse?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what exactly his issue is. She seems to not be like, I mean, she didn't say in her email, like, if I don't have kids, it's all going to be over. She says, I don't know if I want to live a life where I don't have a kid in the future.
Yeah. And unfortunately, like, she's got a window.
Yeah.
And she has to... you know, resolve within herself, like, if she doesn't, is she going to end up resenting him?
Well, that's
because
the
that
thing.
Could ruin their marriage.
That's like, true.
He's not thinking of all
right.
the different ways in which this could affect. And just to put this out there for anyone in a new relationship or even an older one thinking about spending, you know, the rest of your life with that person, have that talk, man.
Totally.
Because it's really, some people just don't want to have kids and that's perfectly fine.
Right.
But if you do,
right.
don't be with someone who doesn't because
right.
they're not going to change.
Right.
And if you make them change, they're going to resent you.
Right. And that's the thing is, it could go both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Say she talks him into having a kid and then he's really fucking pissed and then he bails. Or say he convinces her not to have one and then that, like you said, that gap is gone and she's fucking resentful. If you don't have a common solution in your marriage, it doesn't matter what it is, you're going to have a lot of problems. I'm not saying you can't work through it, but those are big ticket items.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having a kid is like, you're right, you can't force someone to do it, but if it's a thing you want to do, you got to really think about, okay, am I willing to never have the experience of being a mother because I love this man so much and
right.
he doesn't want to do it? And I'll say this, I'm not trying to be an asshole, but men... you know, he can change his mind in fucking 5 years and still be able to do it.
Exactly.
Fuck you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Because for him, he can decide at 70, like, oh, I think I'm going to have kids now.
Yeah,
and
he doesn't
can do
have,
it.
He doesn't have breeding years.
Yeah, exactly.
He can use up yours in
a
second.
I mean, and it's not to say you can't adopt or do something different.
Sure, sure.
But, you know, it does seem like it's not one of those things you can put on a shelf, you know? And maybe it's something where it's like, okay, let's try and see what the good Lord allows. Maybe it's something like, listen, if it happens for us, then it was a sign. And if it doesn't, we at least tried.
Yeah, because if his only fear legitimately is it's going to hurt our relationship.
And I question that. There's something else going on with him, and I don't know what it is.
And it could be that he's afraid he can't provide.
And yeah, I think that's legitimate.
You know, then she can say to him, look, we're in this together.
And if you haven't gone and talked to, I mean, obviously we're licensed professional therapists.
We are not.
But if you haven't gone and talked to a marriage counselor, somebody like that, like, do that.
Yeah.
Get in a room together with a licensed professional and talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, and see what comes up. And then if it continues to be unresolved, you need to kind of make that decision for yourself. Like, am I okay with never having children?
Yeah.
And just see what that answer is.
Yep.
We're going to pray
for you. And then maybe buy one of those real life dolls and try it
out. Give him a blowjob? Is that what you're saying, Dana?
No.
What is your deal? Why do you want to give everybody blowjobs?
I want to give her a real baby. Like Lars and the Real Women.
Stupid. You want to give her a sex doll so she can pretend it's a baby?
Allison, they have baby versions, not sex dolls.
You want to give her a baby doll. Yeah. That's your solution.
I can't afford to buy her one. Or
you're going
to
give her a fucking baby doll.
So her husband
and you
can
think
try it out.
That is the dumbest advice. You're giving her a fucking baby doll so she can see
some
if she wants one.
Some people are fulfilled by them. I wouldn't buy you one.
I don't want one. I want to swaddle you right now. I don't know why.
Oh, that's adorable. I could probably use some comfort.
We're going to move on to the part of our show called Absolute Yorsts. 2017 really rocketed this name to stardom. I feel like 2018, it's going to keep going strong. These are your absolute worst stories. If you have something crazy or bizarre or secretive or scary, we want you to email us at absoluteworstpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can reach us. If something happens at the end of the show where I just don't remember any way that you can contact us. Here's what you should be doing. And honestly, you guys have been doing a lot better. Rate us and review us on iTunes.
Please. It
tell all
so
your
much.
Fucking friends.
Listen. To listen. I didn't make that a statement.
Are you okay? What is happening? All right. So this is an absolute yours.
Okay.
Subject line, weirdo.
Is this about me?
Yeah.
Okay.
This person says, yo, I'm sick in bed and finally have time to submit something.
Yay!
Great. Good for you. And then he put circus creep. Around 2004, I was in an S&M relationship, and part of that relationship would be that my mistress and I would do little light S&M shows from time to time.
Shows?
Yeah, they did sex shows.
All right.
Deal.
I sat up straight.
Jesus Christ. She's trying to give the microphone a hand job. Right.
So dumb.
A friend was throwing a twisted circus themed party and wanted us to perform. This evening, my mistress planned to tie me up on stage and leave me there throughout the evening like a prop that she could come back to later for different acts. This is the most amazing relationship.
Yeah.
There were other performers there doing their acts too. There were creepy clowns, drag clowns. The infamous Raja did a drag act. Oh, fucking
wow,
love Raja. And a few other sideshow style performances. Don't care. They all are.
Oh.
Well, in between our first and second act, there was a DJ and dancing and some creepy clowns were supposed to be on stage for aesthetics. You know, I was tied to a chair, nearly naked in a few straps and a loincloth. And this creepy clown comes up to me.
Hmm.
Before I go any further, I have to describe the clown.
Please do.
He was, stop masturbating.
I'm not. Don't say that M word.
He was a little person, about 4 feet tall, and for some reason he was missing a significant amount of the lower portion of his jawbone.
Excuse me? I'm sorry. Okay.
The Talon had open bar privilege, and he had clearly taken advantage of this, appearing to be sloppy drunk, stumbling, and drooling.
I need to pause.
Probably, but why?
I thought you were going to say like significant number of teeth.
No, he was missing part of his jaw.
A portion of his mandible.
His jaw was missing. That's right.
I'm so scared right now. Because it's like scary clowns and...
small person.
I'm breathing heavy. Go.
Okay, so he was sloppy, drunk, stumbling, and drooling, probably partially because of the lower jaw thing. He was dressed in a wrinkled clown outfit, and his clown makeup was terribly smudged and clumpy. His clown hat was either falling down in the back of his head and he was wearing it too far back. No matter how you look at it, this clown was a fucking creepy mess. So he comes up to me and we are face to face. I can smell the liquor on his breath and he's saying something, but I don't quite understand.
And he's tied up.
And it's a show.
Oh.
Like everybody's watching. This is like a show.
Yeah. Okay, go.
It's loud and he's mumbling and nodding yes over and over again as he starts to rub my thighs and come closer. He is in between my legs and totally rubbing them and touching my body as I am completely helpless and I begin freaking the fuck out. I am not
Yell
tied up.
For your mistress. Where is she? Where the fuck is she?
She's doing a show. He's just like a prop on the show. He doesn't want to ruin the show.
No, he needs to.
I'm not tied up to be molested by anyone who wants to cop a feel. I am doing a stage act and my partner is nowhere to be found. Also, people don't seem to understand that this isn't acceptable because no one does anything about it because they just think it's like part of the show.
Well, because he really put himself out there.
Victim blaming, Dana.
I know, but he's tied
I'm yelling at him to stop, but he doesn't. And I am squeezing him hard between my legs as I wriggle around to clearly say, no, this is not okay. Finally, my partner looks up and sees this happening and rescues me from his molestation, escorting him off stage and out of the club. You guys, I got molested by a sloppy, jawless, drunken clown on stage, half naked in front of an entire club full of people. There is no way to wrap this story up. I continued the evening with the S&M show, but we went in another direction and I was not going to be tied up again that evening. By the way, love the show. Signed, tied down, felt up.
Oh my God. Can I tell you how happy it makes me that that person listens to our show? Oh. Like that person thinks that I am worthy of an hour of his time.
Because he's the most interesting person.
He is. I got to tell you, like.
Remember the Trump supporter Mormon?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
yes.
We have a very eclectic
very
listener
wide
group.
Base.
Yeah.
In my mind, you just read an American Horror Story.
Yo, I know. I did.
Yeah.
I mean, I have so many more questions. Where are these S&M shows? Can I just buy a ticket? How does one go to them? Why was there just a jawless clown there?
I can't.
Was he like audience? Was he part of another show? If any of you are good artists, I need someone to listen
draw
to the show
scene.
And draw
Please
this jawless clown because I need to see what he looks like.
He was squeezing him.
What happened to his jaw? If you're a jawless clown and you're listening to this and that was you that did this to your... Could you send a picture and let us know what happened to your jaw?
And how did it get this far, mistress?
Why was he...
It's your responsibility. You tied him up.
Also, was he part of another show? Because he was dressed like a clown or did he just go dressed as a clown?
No, I think it was like a group of clowns. They come on a bus together.
Because this can't be a big law. Is it a big S&M show? I think there's like 12 people
group.
In the audience.
No.
Oh,
I
you
don't
think there's 50?
So. I think it's a two-level club.
What?
Yeah, I think there's two stages.
So you think this is like a nightclub?
It's two stages. This might be in a warehouse.
You think it's an S&M warehouse show with two stages and like hundreds of people?
Yeah, that's what I think.
It's like Fight Club.
Well, that was in a small basement. Don't talk about Fight Club.
What
it's a secret society for
to
sure.
His jaw.
And you know what? I'm just glad that a bunch of vampires didn't burst in and eat them all. That's all. I mean, because that's the only end to that story I see.
Do you like that we were like 2017 is pretty good? I feel like I learned a lot. This guy's like, so I do S&M. I was with
I got
this jawless
up,
clown.
This jawless clown. This man without a mandible.
I mean,
isn't that a jawbone?
I thought that was a dinosaur, a mandible.
It might be a bug thing.
What?
Do bugs have mandibles?
Sarah, your new job is that you have to start Googling
you
the
do.
Things
that
we ask about because we want
to
know
it.
If a mandible is a jaw, a dinosaur, or something that bugs have.
Yeah,
it
just
could
yell
be,
it out.
It could be literally any of those things.
It could be.
Dana,
what
do you feel like this was a good episode to kick off 2018?
I mean, ending with that Yorst? What was his fake name? Did he have a fake? Oh.
No, he didn't. He tied down, felt up.
Tied down, felt up. Clever. Clever.
This is the first time this guy, I really want to tell you what his email is, but I can't.
I know. Oh, really? Because it's
just it's mandible cool. clown at GM.
I kind of want, like, I don't think I'm cool enough to have coffee with this guy.
No, you're definitely not.
But I would want to.
Because he'd be like, so this one time I was tied up and you were like, I gave Allison's husband a hand job. That's and then he cooked true. Dinner.
I would blush and try and pull my cheeks off.
That's what you're doing right now, Dana.
I know. I mean,
he doesn't want to have. Okay, what is it? Wait, no, seriously. Okay. Oh, yeah. I forget you don't have a microphone. I'm like, yeah, you have to
the
read
jaw
it.
Or jawbone, especially the lower jawbone in mammals. He's a mammal.
Okay.
And yeah. fishes.
What is the dinosaur I'm thinking
also,
of?
Also, wait. Either the upper and lower parts of a bird's beak.
Oh.
Or half of the crushing organ in an arthropod's mouth part.
Is that a dinosaur?
No, I think it's a bug.
What is it? A
wait,
manatee?
Sarah, look up arthropod.
What's a manatee?
This is a rabbit hole.
Is that a dino?
A manatee right. is a sea animal. You what? Weirdo.
Dana.
What?
You sort of organically created a way to end the show. I've historically not been comfortable with.
To tell you. Yeah,
and I just want to know.
Do you think we need a Neva's Corner?
For what? This guy does. I didn't do anything wrong.
You did. You kept repeatedly saying I wanted to give your husband.
That's because you literally said that he cooked dinner for me because you gave him a blowjob.
No, that's not the story.
Neva's Corner. I'm trying to make it quicker because Sarah Baker said it was so creepy.
Yeah, and after that clown story, we can't handle it. Grandmama, I'm so sorry that Allison turns everything sexual and makes it seem like I want to give Robbie a blowjob.
No, Neva, I'm sorry for Dana that she said, it's not like I gave him a blowjob, which no one was even talking about. She just like randomly said that for no reason. So it felt like it needed to be addressed.
It was for safety.
Neva, why will she not show me her vagina?
Oh, God.
Neva's gone. Sarah, do you think I'm a really good singer?
Don't put her in that position. Well.
Yes, Dana.
You said you wanted to end the show.
No, I didn't.
You said you always end.
No, I said, are you going to keep your ending for 2018?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I mean, you have been rough on me today.
Okay.
Allison. Mm-hmm. I love you. Bye.
Bye. Shut up and sit down. We'll be right back.